Welcome to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. I'm your host, Earl Carruthers, and I have been a serial cannapreneur in the growing, processing, and retail space for over 8 years. And we are here to learn together to get a well-balanced understanding of cannabis and cannabis products. Tune in every week for quality cannabis education for your canna inspiration. We are going to be talking about the importance of pH. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Is it even important to talk about pH? What is the big freaking deal? Why is it important?
So I guess let's start with, what does the pH stand for in pH? So pH stands for potential hydrogen. So if you kind of want to get into more specifics, that kind of breaks down the chemical reactions that you're going to get in your soil or your growing medium. And that kind of plays into part based on your fertilizer and how your plant eats. Your pH is going to regulate how available and how much your plant can eat, what's base that it has available to them. So that's kind of the importance that your pH plays when it comes to growing your plants.
What happens if it's too high or too low?
So that's probably one of the biggest problems people have, is that their pH isn't in the right range. And sort of that, to get that understanding, you kind of have to see what kind of nutrients get absorbed at certain pHs. So when your pH is off, if it's too high and it's not in that right zone and that balance, what happens is your plant can't absorb the fertilizer or whatever stuff that you got in your grow medium. So it's not getting all the benefits and it's actually not eating and it's hurting your plant. That's something growers may not necessarily know or begin to understand. And it depends on your style of growing, as well. Certain styles of growers will pay more attention to their pH than others, like hydroponic growers. They have a constant read on their pH, as opposed to maybe soil growers that only maybe necessarily do a pH during a feeding.
Is there a certain range for pH?
Yes, and that kind of plays in part with what fertilizer brand you're using and kind of what your grow style is. The main pH that cannabis usually likes to eat at, because certain species of plants like different pHs, but with cannabis, it likes a range of about 6.2 to around 6.5. And that's usually dealing with what you're getting for a broad range. Now, again, different styles of growing. If you're doing like a Rockwell, or like you're doing a DWC grow, deep water culture, or even if you're using a coco, which these are all soilless sort of growing styles, this you're actually probably going to run at a small, like a lower pH, probably around 5.68, what you see there, to 5.4, 5.8. So again, it's based on your fertilizer style and it's based on how you grow too and what you intend on feeding the plant. For instance, if you're growing in soil and you're using an organic soil fertilizer, what you're going to do is you probably want your pH range to be around 6.2 and then maybe 6.5 during your flowering stage. But let's say if you're starting a grow off with Rockwell, you're going to use Rockwell fertilizer, which probably likes to be at a pH that are in the fives. So again, you kind of tailor your pH to what fertilizer you're feeding for your grow medium. It's going to be hard to use a Rockwell style fertilizer when you're using a soil grow, because it may be at a different pH range or it may be formulated differently. You can easily change your pH range depending on how you're growing. So you may start with one pH and you can move it to different ones. But again, that kind of plays out to more based on experience. When you start with Rockwell, Rockwell is more of an acidic type of grow medium. It does like to be soaked, which is actually a really important part of growing in Rockwell, to be soaked first. And that's usually, when you're doing that, you're actually changing the pH of the Rockwell too. And that's the beauty of a soilless medium too. You can control your pH because it's instant. With soil, it's actually a natural buffer. So you're able to do things like take Rockwell and put it into a soil. But it may not work out different if you're putting soil plugs into a Rockwell grow.
The range goes from 0 to 14, is that right? Is how you measure pH?
Exactly. So 0 is going to be your most acidic, 7 being neutral, and then 14 is going to be your most alkaline or basic. So you're never really going to be at 0 or 14 when you're growing. You're usually going to be around that medium 7 to 5.5. You're never really going to deviate, because if you do, you'll notice immediately. Your plants will tell you.
is one more harmful than the other, or is it both kind of the same kind of issue?
They're both equally harmful in different ways. A way to put it is, if you ever seen a nutrient breakdown chart when it comes to pH, you'll see that certain nutrients are available at different pH ranges. For instance, you get more nitrogen uptake when you're in the higher 7 ranges, even though you won't be reaching that. If you go below 6, you're actually not getting any nitrogen. So what happens is, if you go too low, you're actually getting a certain type of newt lockout. You're not actually getting anything available. Now, if you go too high, you're burning your root zone as well. So either way, if you go to either side, it's not going to be good for you. You really want to stay around that sweet spot, so to say, when you really want to be around 6, 6.5, depending on what you're doing. I like to say your plant's only as strong as the environment that you put it in. Naturally, cannabis doesn't flourish in the average environment in the United States based where you're at. So you kind of have to play Mother Nature in that sense. Say you don't get enough sun, your lighting's down, or you don't do watering and feedings, then the less balance that you have in the garden, the more stressed your plant's going to be, because it realizes it's not in its natural environment. When you get deficiencies, or when you don't take precautionary things like pHing or water, what happens is you get deficiencies, or you stress your plant out to the point where it would actually interfere with your yields, whether that you have to take the time to fix the nutrient deficiency, you have to change your pH, or you have to put more product in, you have to use different supplements. All of that adds up, and it takes time too. That also includes your lighting, how much electricity that you're using for your fans. So the more problems that you have, the more longer and expensive it's going to be, and the more your product's going to suffer if you don't take precautionary measures to make sure you're in that right balance of pretending to be Mother Nature.
Now, how are we actually kind of can measure the pH?
Probably the most popular way to do it is a pH test meter, which I find is the most reliable. But if you don't have a meter, people have test liquid, which is probably what you see lifeguards do at pool. You see the little vial that they take, and they'll put a test liquid in. That'll change the color. And it's the same for the strips as well. Now, that's more subjective, meaning that you're kind of just comparing colors and hoping you're in that right range. But I like to suggest the pH meter is probably the most accurate and the quickest way to kind of measure the way your pH is.
How long do the strips or the liquids typically take to even get a reading?
Give it a couple minutes, because you're going to have to make sure it's stirring well. You're not shaking your water around. You have to make sure. I like to do, if I test liquid, I used to be a lifeguard. So when I was in school, in high school, and what I had to do, I had to do at least 3 different pH tests. I would have to redo it over and over again just to make sure I put in the right liquid, I did the right amount of drops, and that the color is still on range. So it takes a little couple more steps just to do the liquid or the strips, but you're not exactly getting a number reading unlike you get with the meter. The meter, it's going to give you an instant number reading within the first couple seconds that you're putting it in the solution. So for instance, let's say you have denatured water, you have water that's sat out, you've done stuff to it already, it's fresh to use in your grow. What you start doing next is, before I start even putting my fertilizer in, I actually like to check in pH first before I do anything, just in case. So I'll pH my water, and then after that, I do my fertilizer mix, and then after that, I pH again, and that's when I begin my adjustments. So I won't adjust when I do my first pH, but I'll do my adjustment after my second one. And then after I put my fertilizer in, you kind of just, I let it sit for a second, because when you're adding in different sort of supplements and fertilizer, just, you want it to all bind together just for a minute or two. And then when you're doing this, you don't want to shake your bucket or shake your jar or whatever you're feeding in. Believe it or not, when you aerate water, you're actually changing its pH, because it's little droplets of carbon dioxide in the air, actually. Fun fact. That's why rainwater is actually at a pretty low pH versus regular natural water.
How do we measure in soil? Is it the same meter, or this is a different meter?
So you can use 2 different meters when it comes to soil. So the one on the slideshow right now, that's a 2-probe soil meter. So this is something you're going to use strictly for soil. It depends on kind of what models that you get as well. Some models that you can use different ones. Now, typically when you have two methods that you can measure pH in soil, so you can do your runoff or you can do an in-soil probe, which is the one that you see on the screen there. So it depends on what kind of pen that you get. I do like to get just like a standard pH pen as opposed to the probe because I find that it's easier and it's more versatile because you may not always do soil. So if you, I like to say choose tools that you can use to grow with your growing. So for instance, if you wanted to, now let's say you will check your soil with a pH meter. So usually what that starts with is you're checking the pH of the water that you're putting in. Because you want to see where your pH starts, and that's your start. That's where you know what you're putting in. After that, you're going to water your soil lightly, and you want to make sure that it's damp before you put your probe meter in. And then after you water soil, you're going to let it sit for a couple minutes. I usually like to sit about 5 minutes. And the reason for that is if you notice your plants when you're watering, you have water drip out to the bottom. But after a couple of minutes, after you feed, you'll notice the plants begin to absorb the water back up. That's what you're testing for. So you kind of want to wait for that feeding process to happen. That way you get an accurate result of what the pH is in your root zone. Now that's using a meter. Now if you wanted to test just your runoff, let's say you just have a handheld pH meter and you don't have a soil probe meter, the two thongs, what you like to do is I like to get, again, my water. I pH my water. And a general rule is that when you're pHing, your runoff is going to be different than what your ingoing is. And that's on purpose. Now, this is typically for soil. So let's say I take my water, I pH my water. I know that it's at 7. I pour my water in at 7. And then I'm actually letting it drip and I'm falling it, and I'm letting it see go through the bottom of the pot. And once I see it start dripping through the pot, I'll take up another glass, I lift my pot, or it's in a flood pan. But I prefer to pick my pot up, and I like to have the water dripping separately into a container that I know is clean. After that, I measure the runoff to see what the pH is. And once you get that result, that will tell you what the pH is in your root zone. So for example, I put 7 pH water in through my soil plant. I measure the runoff from that, and it's telling me that it's at 6.0. Right. So it sounds like root zone is probably be around 6.5 range. That's kind of how you base it and calculate it.
What are some ways to kind of bring it up, bring it down?
Probably the easiest way, I'd like to say, is using bottled pH and up and down. And there is a reason for that. Now, this depends if you are growing organically, because organic growers do have preferred methods to adjust their pH. But let's say this is the standard beginner. The easiest way, I would say, is just get a bottled pH brand. GH makes a great standard pH up and down, and they have test kits as well. So I just like to suggest that because it's the easiest way and it's the most consistent. And this also doesn't affect your PPMs as well. And I'm not sure if you guys have addressed PPMs because that does come into factors when you are adjusting your pH because it can add a little bit of surprises to your solution. Lemon juice actually does that, a little fun fact. So now if you do not want to use a bottled pH up and down and you do want something that's more natural, I do like to suggest apple cider vinegar, distilled white vinegar. That's good as well. No wine vinegars. You don't use any balsamic or red wine. Baking soda is also another good thing to use too when you're adjusting and you're going up.
Vinegar, lemon juice, baking soda are the more organic ways where you can adjust.
Yes, and it can also be dolomitic lime is also pretty popular. Wood ash is also pretty popular. Some of those take a little longer to perform. That's why I do like the pre-bottle, the stuff that's already made for that, because yeah. You do see an instant result when you're using it, and it's not going to throw off your PPMs. When you are using more organic methods, if that's something that you want to do, that's fantastic. Right. It just may take a little longer, and it might not be consistent. When you're using a lemon, are you getting the same lemon every time that you're using it? Is it the same amount of drops that you're using it? Versus when I pick up a bottle of my pH down, I know that I need 3 little droplets in order to get like a half percentage reading off. And again, that's sort of just experience and kind of playing around with what you're doing. It may not necessarily work for one person. It may not work for you.
Is there a certain organic way that brings it up and brings it down? Like, say, if you use a lemon juice, is that typically making it more alkaline or more acidic?
That's going to be more acidic. Okay. So when you're using lemon juice and you're using vinegars and stuff like that, that's going to bring you down. Okay. And that's going to be more acidic. So that's if you want a smaller number. Now, if you're going up, what you can do is you can use different types of lime, or you can use wood ash. Wow. Or again, you can use a bottled solution. It depends on what you're trying to do.
Thanks for listening to the Cannabis Therapy Podcast. For more cannabis therapy blogs and resources, check our website, cannabistherapynetwork.org, cannabistherapynetwork.org.